Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This South Cars server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control actually for this session is a VO1UKZ, Daryl from Newfoundland. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm merely opening it up this evening. My location is beautiful Port St. Lucie in southern Florida. We currently have a temperature of 85 degrees. It was a high of 89 today and a low of 77. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. All right, hearing no emergency traffic, that's always a great thing. But I did want to mention that Daryl's backup, as far as I know, is KY6B Gordon, my better half, who is also from Port St. Lucie. So do we have anyone celebrating their birthday this week, last week, maybe this upcoming week that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy birthday? Okay, and no birthday stations. We're just saying the same age every year. But this is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. And I do want to advise all stations connected that this net will be recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. So if you've participated this evening, you most definitely will be part of that recording. And once again, Daryl, VO1UKZ, he's going to be talking about what's new in technology. So I'm going to be interested in listening, if not talking. So with that, Daryl, I want to thank you for doing the session this evening and allowing me to open it. But I'm going to turn it right over to you so you can begin the program. VO1UKZ from Kilo 6 Sierra United November. The net is now all yours.
All right. Thanks very much, Kathy, and pleasure hearing you out here this evening as well. Yes, absolutely my pleasure to do the net here tonight. It's been a while since I've done one of these TINs, and when we had the break over the summer, I figured what a good way to condense some of the information that we've been talking about on a weekly basis over on the Tuesday Night Technology Net that I run over on the Do Drop-In system, of course. We do the Technology Net each and every Tuesday night at 8 p.m., and we talk about everything technology-related. And we've got some experts in the various fields and whatnot that participate in the net each week and provide a really great, a good deal of information. So I figured I'd condense a little bit of that here this evening and make use of the time in putting some information out there about some various ham-related smartphone apps that we can all definitely take or make very good use of in our ham radio lives. Also wanted to discuss a little bit about digital ham radio as well. Toward the end of the program here this evening, I'll get into hotspot-related technology for the various technologies in ham radio on the RF side. And right toward the end, I've got some interesting information that most of you may have heard about, but interesting stuff related to a particular smartphone and a big warning that I think everybody should be made aware of. So we've got a lot of stuff that we're going to get into here this evening, but before we do all that, I'd definitely like to say hello and good evening to my partner in crime here for this evening, Mr. KY6V. Good evening to you, Gordon. Good to hear you out here tonight.
Well, thank you, kind sir. I'll tell you what, I've got more recordings going here at the moment than I think I need. I think there's something like about four that are turned on and pointed at you. The microphones are pointing at you. So one way or another, unless we have something dramatic happen, we'll have a podcast posted probably in the morning. Anyway, looking forward to this, champ. Go for it. KY6V, back to you.
All right, QSL, you're sounding good this evening, Gordon, and thanks for riding along here this evening as well. And like you say, if you've got anything, any information that I could definitely elaborate on as we go through here this evening, and hopefully we'll get a few questions from the group here as well tonight. I see a few familiar names connected to the system here tonight, so hopefully we'll get some comments from the group here as well. All right, let's go ahead and get things started. What we're going to be discussing here tonight is technology in general, I suppose. Technology as a whole, primarily focusing around amateur radio related topics, of course, because there is so much available to us as hams this day and age with various digital modes, of course. Echolink being what I'd call, I suppose, a hybrid mode, but you know, it has definitely many digital components to it in the voice over IP aspect. Of course, there's many others out there in regard to DMR, ASUS System Fusion, and of course, D-Star, who I must admit I'm very, very partial to, as most of you probably know by now. Anyhow, so we're going to get into a lot of things this evening, and there's many different things. I guess my phone is going to start blowing up here now with messages, but, you know, it is what it is. Anyhow, let's go ahead and first I wanted to get into some you know, basic information, some changes that have really occurred in the ham radio world as a result of all of the new technology that we've got. Of course, everybody remembers the traditional days of the original ham radio operator. You know, often the shed or the garage operating extremely high power and some really elaborate antenna systems. And of course, that way of operating ham radio still applies today. It's still all well and good. But with the addition of many technological aspects, our lives have been made a heck of a lot easier, and most of these additions can be obtained in nothing more than adding an additional piece of software to your smartphone or tablet. So that's what I wanted to get into first this evening. Just a brief overview of several different ham radio apps that I would highly recommend people download with many different ham radio related practical applications. So, first, I'll run down through these, and then if there's anything that I can definitely elaborate on any more when it comes to any of these, I'll definitely be more than happy to do that. All right, the first one, of course, we all know, where most of us are probably using it this evening. A lot of us probably are, and of course, that's the Echolink app. Both for Android and iOS, this is a fantastic little piece of software to get you on the air without even needing to use a radio, of course. You can turn any, and I know you mentioned this to me earlier in the week, Gordon, that you were using a repurposed, deactivated smartphone for just this purpose and run an Echolink on it. And that works extremely well. I mean, the form factor in a smartphone alone is pretty much the size of, you know, every decent-sized commercial handheld. So installing the Echolink app on it, of course, gives you access to thousands of repeaters, conference servers, simplex link stations, and individual users all around the planet. So I highly recommend this be an absolute must-have in any ham radio arsenal, in any smartphone repertoire anyway. And I've got quite a number of these. I use pretty much every one of these that I'm going to mention here this evening. I use in some capacity on a daily basis, or at least a weekly basis. Of course, the next app that I want to get into is the Repeater Book. I've mentioned that on past nets here and highly recommend it. The Repeater Book app utilizes the built-in GPS technology that's in your smartphone, allowing the software to calculate your position and display a list of relative repeaters based on your current position. So if you're into traveling, of course, and let me drop it here. If you're into traveling and you take your smartphone with you everywhere you go, like everyone else does, or at least a tablet or some type of Android or iOS device, well, with the Repeater Book, your closest repeater is only a touch away. It's as simple as that. You open the app, the nearest repeaters to you in the modes that you select, the bands that you want to see, will be displayed with the closest repeater at the top of the list. So definitely a must-have as well in the repeater book app. The next app that I wanted to get into is called QRZ Droid. Of course, this app can be used relatively easily to look up call signs on the run without needing to go load up the QRZ website and log in and all of the things that come with that. The QRZ Droid app will also show you grid squares, location, address information, and email addresses with a convenient link to take you right to your email program. So definitely QRZ Droid is a must-have as well. All right, before we go any further, do we have any stations here listening this evening that would like to check in with any comments, any information that you'd like to have about any of the first couple of apps here? All right, and nothing heard, so we'll continue on with the list and take another break in case anybody does have any comments when we get to the end of the list. We've got three or four more here. The next one that I wanted to get into, of course, is APRS Droid and APRS Messenger. Two great little apps. APRS Droid is a paid app. I think it's $5.99. It's literally worth every penny. It's a very, very stable app. It has many premium features like automatic location for APRS-enabled stations, including stations using System Fusion, D-Star, and DMR GPS-enabled radios. So not only can you track people that have these elaborate APRS setups in their vehicles for ham radio purposes, but you can also receive real-time GPS information using Google's mapping service and Street View right on your smartphone with the APRS Droid app. Of course, APRS Messenger, the second app I mentioned, will do quite similar things, but it doesn't have the really advanced premium lookup and premium features that are available in APRS Droid. But APRS Messenger will still allow you to connect to stations via two-way text message that are APRS-enabled terminals. And, of course, it'll also allow you to beacon yourself and put out your GPS position and register it with the APRS network based on your call sign and the supplied PIN number from the APRS group. So you just go on the website, you register for an APRS PIN, you put your call sign and that PIN into the device and into your app story, and it pretty much turns your device into a mobile APRS terminal. So as long as you've got a data connection, your current location will beacon out as if you had an elaborate APRS setup, and your position will appear on the website, aprs.fi. If you'd like to check out APRS, if you haven't already, and you'd like to check it out just for a quick demonstration, you can go to either the app or the website, aprs.fi, and type in my call sign. It'll give an old position, but it will give you an indication on what this APRS thing is all about. All right, the next app I'm going to move along to really quickly here this evening is the Scanner Radio app. And the Scanner Radio app, of course, is just a godsend. If you follow media outside your country, for instance, I follow CNN quite a bit, and when there's disasters or major things happening in the news, chances are, using the Scanner Radio app, you'll find a radio stream relevant to emergency response for the area to which is affected by the said disaster or major news story. Back when there was riots and stuff on the go, back about a year ago now, I suppose, we were using the Scanner Radio app to listen to emergency response teams, fire, and police in Baltimore while that whole situation was on the go. So we were watching the news and listening to radio broadcast in real time, from another country. So definitely a must in Scanner Radio. It's a free app. There is a pro version that does allow for recording various streams. But the basic version has some little tiny ads toward the bottom, but is 100% free, so definitely check that out. All right, next. That was probably me timing out. All right, next. The next app that I think is probably, probably not so much a must-have, but if you're interested in HF transmissions and reception, you can always check out the app Pocket RX/TX. What this app will do, it'll you use your call sign in there, and it'll pretty much give you remote access to transceivers, many of which are just receivers, but using your call sign, some of which actually allow you to transmit as well, right through the app. I'm not sure if that feature is, I haven't actually gotten that to work, so I'm not sure if that's a feature in the Pro version of Pocket RX TX, or Ham Pocket, it's sometimes called on iOS. But a great little app nonetheless. It allows you to actually listen to HF setups at different locations around the world. I like one that's located in Ontario, on the eastern part of Canada. It really gives you a good feel on, you know, if I had an elaborate setup, you know, the types of things that I would be able to pull in with that. And some of the setups that are available through this, I think they use remoteham.net as their protocol. So hopefully you'll get some use out of that as well. All right, the last and final cellular phone or tablet application that I wanted to mention this evening is not so much a ham radio app as it is a two-way communications app. And I find this particularly interesting. I've got a couple of my nieces interested in this type of technology. What it pretty much, it's called Zello. For anybody that's not familiar with it, it spells Z-E-L-L-O. And it pretty much turns your smartphone into a very advanced two-way walkie-talkie that no ham license is required for. There's many existing channels on there, but to be honest with you, some of them are so lowbrow you probably wouldn't even want to check them out. But what way we've made use of this application is by creating a room on there for ham radio operators that require verification before they can listen and join on the channel. So essentially, what we've created is a hams-only channel that requires authentication that we can talk on without, you know, the strict regulations of the FCC or Industry Canada here in Canada. You can have more of a relaxed chat. It's not connected to any airwaves. It's a virtual two-way voice chat room. The audio quality is absolutely fantastic on it. It can be installed on all the popular platforms, including Mac, PC, Linux, smartphones, tablets, iOS devices, literally pretty much anything. And it's a really fun app. If you decide to check that one out, check out the channel The Morning Net, and you'll find that you'll find a lot of people with call signs hang out in there from time to time. So that channel, again, on Zello is The Morning Net. All right, let's get away from talking about the smartphone app technology anyway, and get into talking about some of the devices that you can utilize to take care of ham radio this day and age. This is VO1UKZ with the South Cars Thursday Informational Net, or TIN for short. Do we have any stations with any comments before we continue here this evening?
Six, Victor.
And Victor X-Ray Papa.
All right, I copied you, Gordon, and I copied you, Rick. Good evening, Rick. First, let's pass it over to you, Gordon, KY6V. Good evening again, and go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, and hi, Rick. Gordon here, KY6V. Two quickies. Your mentioning of the QRZ app, which I think is very, very handy. It's something that a lot of the hams probably don't know about, is that you, on your computer, can go directly to a given call sign on QRZ without going through the logging and then posting the call and that kind of stuff. And the way that's done is you just use the QRZ address, which is QRZ.com. And then you put a forward slash in there and you put in the initials DB, Delta Bravo, which actually stands for database, DB, and then forward slash and the call you're interested in. So, example, qrz.com/DB, Delta Bravo, /KY6V, and it'll take you right to my page on QRZ. The other item, Pocket RX and TX, have you had any input on how people are feeling about security? Is that an opening at this point that could be a concern that people need to be thinking about? That was brought to my attention by Fred, K2HA, who happens to be connected here with us this evening also. KY6V, go ahead, Darryl.
That's interesting. You know, I didn't know that, but I could see a lot of uses for that. I mean, in HTML tags for websites, for one. when I type someone's call sign, for instance, into context on the website, I could hyperlink that to the QRZ.com, I think you said /DB/ the call sign. If that's what that is, you can post that in the text box. I'll be interested to try that out after the net. I did not know about that. But interesting stuff nonetheless. In regard to the Pocket RX-TX, I'm assuming that the only stations you'd be able to access like this are stations that have pre-authorized it through their onboard software, through the website portal, I guess. I wouldn't, you know, imagine that, you know, anybody that just has a set that's linked to the online can be controlled through this app and stuff like that. I'd say there must be some type of verification or authentication purpose when you're putting a station that's going to be available in an app like that. I think it's done through, like you say, one of these ham radio remote-based websites or something, and it just pulls their metadata and allows you to control the systems in a radio-looking environment. I mean, it turns your screen into, you know, a radio, and it does its thing. So, yeah, it's definitely pretty cool nonetheless, and, you know, just some things that you can add free of charge in most cases to your smartphone that'll allow you, you know, just this additional functionality on the device that you've probably got in your pocket anyway. My apologies for being so long-winded and quick on the key there. I didn't realize that the spaces I was leaving there wouldn't be long enough, so definitely my apologies on that one. The next station we've got here is Rick, and Rick, if we could, just leave a couple of seconds between transmissions. Good evening to you. Great to hear you out here, man. It's been a while since I've spoke to you. N1VXP, go ahead. Good evening.
This is N1VXP. Yeah, Daryl, you mentioned about the repeater book. I've had some fun playing around with that. I don't have it on my smartphone anymore. I've had to take it off for other reasons, needing more space. And one thing I noticed when I did have it on, going through all the different filtering of, you know, what frequencies and bands and everything. There was one part in there, I never got a chance to check it out, but it also had connect towards the bottom. And I'm wondering if somebody had mentioned they thought that had to do with setting up the repeater book for, say, like IRLP. And I said, I don't know about that, but it sounded almost like you had capability of setting up a radio in with the computer and actually using the app. Kind of curious if what the experience is on that. And I definitely, my voice is starting to go bad again. Oh, just when I thought I was going good. But doing a little bit better. The breathing is much easier. Just one of those kind of days. Anyway, back to you, Daryl. N1PXP.
All right, QSL, Rick, thanks for joining us tonight, man. Definitely appreciate it. Like I said, good to hear you out here. Well, like you say, I'm not sure about linking a radio up with the repeater book. Now, I have heard of the new, something now that I was going to get into later. I was going to touch on a unique way to program these very expensive Bofang rigs later on in the program. But now that we're speaking about the repeater book here, the piece of software commonly used to program HT is this free software called Chirp. In a recent update, they've now added repeater book and radio reference integration into the software. So what you can do now is when you load your file or read your radio, you can go up and click on the menu section to import from radio reference or the repeater book. So you put in your area, your state, your county, and it'll automatically download all the frequencies, alpha tags, offsets, and everything else into the radio for you. Through repeater book, so it's definitely a valuable asset in that regard. And I've got my Echolink system, my Simplex link, listed on the repeater book. If you check listings for St. John's, Newfoundland, you'll see that VO1UKZ is listed there, as a Simplex link that contains an open Equilink gateway onto it there. And it's got the grid square for pretty close to where I'm located here. And then you can link from there, I think, to a coverage map as well that was generated by one of the guys here locally. So lots of different intertwining technologies that really make all of this stuff happen. And, you know, on a good day, it all works together extremely well. Like you say, the next few topics that I'm going to get into is different ways that different pieces of technology, actual pieces of hardware that you can use to utilize some of this stuff and get on the air. Some actual, you know, physical, tangible little gadgets and gizmos that'll get you up and running on the air with, you know, some of this stuff that I've already talked about here this evening. Let me take a pause for the cause here. This is VO1UKZ with the Thursday Informational Net here on South Coast. All right, you know, sometimes just going on and on, talking like this, the throat just gets extremely dry. Well, you've definitely got a good one here this evening. I'm pretty used to running nets, pretty used to talking for an extended periods of time, and I'm actually using some notes this time. Typically when I do one of these nets, I don't even have any notes in front of me, but I did have some loose guidelines about some things that I wanted to talk about here this evening. And, of course, some of the software technology that I've mentioned already this evening, some apps, you know, some different ways that you can utilize your smartphone technology. Well, if you don't want to play with these apps, for instance, what I've acquired a new piece of technology actually to my repertoire in the last couple of weeks, and that's one of these Android TV boxes. And I'm not sure if many of you out there have had the opportunity to check one of these out yet, but I highly recommend it. I mean, I'm sure you're all familiar with the Google Chromecast. I think we talked about it back a number of months ago. And, of course, the you know, the phone is going to continue here. But what this device is and what sets it apart you know, from others is its hardware. I mean, it's just incredible. It has 16 gigabytes of storage, for instance, or 8 gigabytes or, you know, 32, depending on what you want to spend on one of these things. And anywhere from 1 to 4 gigabytes of RAM in them. So it's a full-functioning computer. Essentially what it is, it's a smartphone or a tablet built into a little box and you use your TV for the display. So pretty much anything you can do on your Android smartphone or tablet, you can do on this box, including games, including the Repeater Book app. The one that I'm particularly interested in and that I was playing around with a little bit earlier today was actually running the Equilink app on this thing. It makes especially for someone that's visually impaired, it's quite incredible. It puts the Equilink app, the mobile app, up the full size of your TV. And you can use a mouse, a wireless or wired, plugged into this Android TV box. Or, the real kicker, you can program one of the four programmable buttons on the remote to activate a certain sector on the screen. And of course, once you do that, you can essentially sit back on your couch and have nothing more than a tiny little remote control in your hand and use the built-in microphone on the Android TV box to talk Equilink through your TV. Now, I mean, that's just the ultimate form of ham radio laziness, if you ask me, but I've been playing around with it, and it definitely seems really cool. What I've been doing is putting the Android TV box on the small picture, on the picture-in-picture on the TV, so I can still watch Star Trek. I've got to be honest, I've gotten into over the last several months and find it very entertaining. But it's even more entertaining now when I can just sit back and I can watch what's going on my Equilink node, for instance, in the picture-in-picture on the TV. And if someone comes on that I want to speak to, it's only to press one of the buttons on my remote control and I'm instantly in transmit mode. So I think that's a really cool device. It was definitely worth mentioning here this evening. I picked up one that cost me all of $50, is all this thing cost. It runs a full version of Android Lollipop 6.0, the newest and greatest, well, you know, semi-newest and greatest, of course, Android N Nougat is what they chose for the name. I think, you know, these names, just unreal. Anyhow, and, you know, it'll make a great addition to any ham radio operator's shack, or, you know, if you can get it past the wife, you know, and tout it as a way to watch movies very quickly. You might even get a piece of ham radio equipment into the living room, you know, covertly, of course. But anyhow, do we have any questions about the Android TV boxes, any of their capabilities, any ways they can be used for ham radio? Any comments pertaining to any of the other stuff we've covered here so far this evening? This is VO1UKZ, and listening for any traffic. All right, and not hearing any traffic, so I guess we'll continue on here. Another device that you may find extremely useful around the ham radio shack, of course, is the Raspberry Pi. And we have talked a little bit briefly about the Raspberry Pi, but it's starting to be utilized a little more in the Echolink community, so I figured it was definitely worth mentioning here this evening. There's a couple of really cool applications in the Echolink world that you can use the Raspberry Pi for. It's of course, another one of these full-functioning computers with USB ports. The newest version has built-in Bluetooth, built-in Wi-Fi. It's a tiny little credit card-sized computer board. It, by default, is just a $35 board. It's a full computer. You power it with nothing more than a cell phone or tablet charger. The operating system is held not on a magnetic hard drive, but on a micro SD card. So you store your operating system that way. It runs a version of Linux with a Debian core. Raspbian is the primary Linux distribution that runs on the Raspberry Pi. But like I said, it has a full quad-core processor. And I can't remember if it's 1 gigabyte or 2 gigabytes of RAM. Either way, in a credit card-sized computer, that's more than powerful enough for any of the project ideas that I'm going to mention here this evening. All right. Of course, the you know, the first project is you can turn it into an Echolink -L or a -R. You can set up an RF link using the Raspberry Pi. It would absolutely 100% substitute any full computer system setup. So without your computer's, you know, size, battery or power consumption, sorry, keyboard, mouse, all of that stringing around connected to a radio, you can just connect up a Raspberry Pi and eliminate all of those other things from your shack or from your setup, for that matter. The Raspberry Pi installations come equipped with a VNC client, a virtual LAN connection, which will allow you to use another computer, your tablet or smartphone, or even an iPod Touch, to fully control the computer that's going to be running your -L or -R system on for your Echolink RF node. Then the next thing, of course, is you know, you won't you know, have any difficulties in accessing it from any of your mobile devices, of course. But if you do want to access it, it's only a matter of plugging a HDMI cable and connect the monitor to it, or your TV, for instance, or pretty much any other display on the planet. But of course, with the VNC connection that I mentioned, there's really no need to do that. Recently, I heard of another Echolink-related project that a friend of mine... All right, hopefully that wasn't me timing out again. I heard the tone, and of course, the text box makes exactly the same sound, so it's very confusing. But the next project that I heard a buddy of mine is using right now is an Echolink proxy server. There's a pre-canned image available online. Sorry, I didn't do all of my homework pertaining to that. I tried to contact them just before the net to find out a link that I could direct people to, but you can Google Echolink proxy Raspberry Pi, and you'll find all the information you need. Of course, if you want to connect multiple systems in one home to the Echolink system through one external IP address, you're going to need some type of Echolink proxy. And typically, you'd dedicate a computer to this, running some software, and it would serve as your proxy to get all your other systems connected. Or, of course, the smartphone app that I mentioned earlier for Echolink, that can be assigned to a private or public proxy. Public proxies sometimes can be nuisances because you're limited by the limitations on the proxy server that you're connected to. So, of course, if you run your own and have it either connect to a cell phone you know, data plan, because the new Raspberry Pi can easily be interfaced into any mobile data plan, and you just being an Echolink proxy server, the amount of data that you would pass would be relatively minimum, and it can be set up you know, to get all your devices in your home connected through one location that you're in complete control of. Of course, a very low-end cellular data connection. My friend is using a 3G cellular data connection from an old USB cellular modem that he has, and it's working absolutely fantastic to give him an outside IP that he can run his connections through. So it's definitely a great way to go about things, of course. All right, the last use that I wanted to mention for the Raspberry Pi is, of course, setting it up as a hotspot for D-Star, DMR, or Digital System Fusion. Of course, these digital modes in themselves are marvels in modern technology and ham radio communications. All right, before we get into the different types of hotspot applications and the devices and hardware required to go about doing those type of things, I'll take a pause to see if there's any questions or comments or any traffic from the group here this evening. This is VO1UKZ. All right, not hearing any additional comments. Sure, I wasn't doubling. Not hearing any additional comments. We'll continue right along with this information about the Raspberry Pi. Of course, the Raspberry Pi can be used, like I said, to create an RF hotspot for not only Echolink, IRLP, All-Star, you know, the traditional analog means of voice over IP ham radio linking with analog repeaters. It can also be set up as a very, very powerful hotspot for digital modes such as D-Star, DMR, Yaesu System Fusion, P25, and other digital ham radio modes that support full infrastructure modes. With the different digital ham radio modes, in addition to the Raspberry Pi, you're going to need some type of RF device. Of course, in the Echolink world, your RF device is typically going to consist of a full radio in most cases, you know, a transceiver set up, hooked up to an external antenna and whatnot. But when it comes to the digital voice ham radio modes, it's not always necessary to set up a high-powered outdoor hotspot for your access needs. Of course, with several different hardware components, you can build yourself a fully functioning RF hotspot for any one of the digital modes this day and age that you can operate with nothing more than a portable radio as your transceiver and talk to the entire planet, just like you do with Echolink and the analog voice over IP linked modes. You can do on a very, very low power, oftentimes no more than 100 milliwatts on either D-Star, DMR, System Fusion, or P25. There's a device currently available that will act as a hotspot. If you're one of these people that are unsure about which digital mode is really going to be, you know, the one that that's going to interest you most, if you want to go about getting various portable radios and trying them out, the DV4 Mini is an interesting device, an interesting piece of hardware that will allow you to set up an RF hotspot that will act as an RF gateway for all of the popular digital modes that I mentioned. One device, one hotspot. Granted, you'll still need at least a portable radio for each of the digital modes that you plan on working, but you won't need a different Raspberry Pi and different RF access point. The DV4 Mini uses... I wasn't sure if I left a long enough pause there. The DV4 Mini uses the newest in AMBE technology, AMBE, which is a chip, a digital vocoder or digital voice processing chip, the AMBE vocoder. It uses the newest AMBE vocoder chip to allow software to be used as the primary control interface in conjunction with the AMBE chip and connected to a computer be an RF hotspot for any of these modes. The DV4 Mini also has, it's a small rubber duck antenna that's connected to it via an SMA connector, on the end of the DV4 Mini, to which you can either connect the supplied rubber duck antenna or a more powerful magnetic mount antenna or glass mount antenna, external antennas, where the DV4 Mini is meant to be a personal, a digital hotspot alternative. It's only a 10 milliwatt transceiver. It's going to cover around your house, maybe about 3/4 of a mile radius around your neighborhood. So it's not going to be an extremely long range device, but if you're just using a portable radio and this tiny thing connected to a Raspberry Pi, you can easily take it where you go. The full hotspot will readily go in any vehicle, connected to a cellular data connection, of course, to provide your internet access for the digital mode infrastructure. Similar to the way Echolink works, the other digital modes work quite similarly in the fact that you can use set up an RF gateway into the various systems. However, the DV4 Mini does not support modes like Echolink, IRLP, or All-Star, the typical analog-typed repeater linking modes. All right, the DV4 Mini, like I said, can be used for D-Star, DMR, Yaesu System Fusion, or P25, DPMR, NXDN, IDAS, a whole bunch of digital systems. And like you say, but you'll still need a new our new handheld, or at least a second handheld for each digital mode. So, what you may wonder, is it possible to use one radio that can talk on all of these digital modes? Why do you have to go out and buy a new radio for each mode? Well, of course, that's what the radio manufacturers want. They want you to spend that $300 or $400 or $500 for the newest, most high-tech radio to operate each mode. The wireless hold company that I mentioned, who makes the DV4 Mini, also are currently investigating the production of an all-mode radio. This being the DV4 Mobile. If you want to check this thing out, this is an extraordinary, extraordinary piece of technology. If you're one of these people who doesn't know, again, which digital mode will interest me the most, you know, maybe I'm a person that likes all of them and doesn't want to carry four or five different handhelds, one for each of these digital modes, and of course the hotspot and all that goes along with it. So the DV4 Mobile promises to be an all-mode digital radio. It's going to have a built-in Wi-Fi adapter. It's going to have a built-in SIM card. It's going to have all of the software that currently runs on the DV4 Mini, which allows it to act as its own gateway into all of these digital modes. So your D-Star, your DMR, your NXDN, your IDAS, your System Fusion, your Moto Turbo, the possibilities are limitless, according to the wireless hold company, when it comes to the DV4 Mobile. Too good to be true is my personal opinion, but at this past Dayton Hamvention, the wireless hold company out of Germany unveiled the DV4 Mobile. We got to put our eyeballs on this thing for the first time, and it had a screen. It showed that it was operating all these different modes and whatnot. We didn't see an active working demo of all the digital modes, so which leads me to think maybe it's not perfected yet. But, according to the company, by the third quarter of 2016, this thing is going to be available, so we can't wait till the fall to see if it holds half the potential that they claim it will. It may be a be-all, end-all, do-all radio to eliminate the need for a different radio for each digital mode. To eliminate it all, it will have the software currently running on DV4 Mini units all over the world, built right into the radio. Of course, with the wireless hold claims that it's going to have a built-in SIM card slot. So you can obtain a SIM card from your cellular provider with a data plan, similar to what you'd use for a tablet that's on a data plan, pop the SIM card right into the radio, access any digital mode from anywhere as long as you got a cellular data connection. Now, just absolutely incredible, if you ask me. Do we have any questions before we continue along here this evening? It's going to make for a very boring net if we don't get anybody else picking up those microphones, so I'm going to leave a pause for just that right now. This is VO1 UKZ with Southcars Thursday Informational Net.
Six, Victor.
Sierra Tango Yankee.
Well, I've got Gordon, and I've got Nasty, KY6V and N0STY. Good evening to you both. Like you say, I can talk technology until the cows come home, but it doesn't make for an interesting net. I know these are informational nets, and that's typically how they work, but like you say, it's nice to get some more voices out here as well and rest the old windpipes at the same time. KY6V, go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, and hi to Nasty again, KY6V here. A couple of quick questions. On the DV Mobile, what's the cost of that package? I've read their write-up. It was a while back. Pretty well familiar with what they're attempting to do, but at that point they did not have a selling price going on it. So that's question number one. Question number two, take you back to proxies for a moment and Raspberry Pis. Did I understand you correctly that there is a app that is written in Linux that can be a direct input to the Raspberry Pi? Question number one. Question number two, in using a proxy with the Raspberry Pi, is that proxy, the same proxy that is available on echolink.org? And if so, that particular release is only able to handle one connect at a time. And I heard you say, I thought, something about multiple connects, at least on your land-based equipment in the house. So would you like to comment on that, sir? KY6V, over.
Yeah, QSL, absolutely. Well, what I've heard rumored, Gordon, to be honest with you, is between $900 and $1,200 bucks for the DV4 mobile, which, you know, may sound like a high price. And, you know, sure enough it is. I mean, $1,000, $1,200. But you factor in to what it costs just to get into one of the digital modes. D-Star, for instance. If you want to operate D-Star on a HF or an RF basis, you're going to need minimum a handheld. So you're looking at minimum for the lowest-end D-Star handheld, $200, okay? That's the ID31 India Delta hyphen 31 Alpha, the UHF D-Star HT. Has a built-in GPS, you know, it has all the bells and whistles for D-Star, everything you're going to need. But then to go with that, you're going to need either a DV4 Mini or a DVAP or a, what's some of the other ones? I can't even think. A DV Mega is another one that connects right to the Raspberry Pi. So you're going to need some type of RF gateway. And unlike Echolink, you need an RF gateway that supports digital AMB vocoder that I mentioned earlier. So, you know, you're into it for $350 or $400 bucks anyway, right? If you want to go to DVAP, you're into it for $450, $475 bucks total, radio and hotspot. And, you know, if you want the Raspberry Pi to run it all, you know, very portably, of course, in your vehicle and whatnot, so you can take it wherever you go. You know, you're into it for a decent price tag. Then think about it. If you've already got the DV4 Mini that I mentioned, the RF all-mode hotspot, you're still going to need a handheld for each mode. D-Star, DMR, System Fusion. If you want to do P25, look at the prices on some P25 radios. NXDN and IDAS, you're looking at $1,500 for an NXDN mobile radio, okay? This is high security digital ham radio stuff we're talking about here, high level stuff. So when you look at not needing a hotspot, not needing a Raspberry Pi, not needing a cellular device to provide your internet connection in your vehicle because it has a SIM card slot built in, not needing a different radio for each of those modes, you're saving thousands and thousands of dollars with that $900 to $1,200 price tag. So you, if you are a digital ham radio enthusiast, or if you plan on becoming one, that radio, even at that price, would be such a huge investment. And it's a software-based radio, a software-defined radio. So it's upgradable and fully changeable by nothing more than software. As long as it's equipped with that AMB vocoder and the software to run this whole mechanism, you just plug in your microphone and you're good to talk away on any of the digital modes from anywhere. So that, in a nutshell, sums up the information on the DV4 mobile. And check that out at wirelesshold.com, I think is their website, wirelesshold, H-O-L-D, I do believe. Or you can Google DV4 mobile, DV, number 4, M-O-B-I-L-E. Look it up. It's pretty interesting stuff. Let me drop it here before I address your second question, Gordon. To be honest with you, in regard to the proxy software and its limitations, I really don't know because I haven't set one up yet for myself. But what I was told, you can use multiple systems through the proxy as long as you're using a different IP address for the proxy than you're using on your home network. So using a cellular connection, for instance, a friend of mine is using it. He hasn't used 500 megabytes. Now we're talking half a gigabyte of data in a full month. So under 500 megabytes of data, and he has Echolink connected systems 4 or 5 times a week for a couple hours at a time. So very, very low data usage, connected up to an old 3G, not even a 4G LTE stick, and connect that up to a Raspberry Pi and shove it off out of the way, and you got yourself an off-site or off-network proxy server that's apparently pre-canned. Apparently you don't even have to install the scripts by hand. Apparently there's a place where you can download an image that you write to the SD card, and it sets the whole thing up for you. You only got to put in your internet settings for your off-network device, or, you know, you can use your home network as well, but an off-network IP address apparently for this project is recommended. All right, is there any additional comments on that, Gordon? And you can go ahead and pass it over to N0SCY. Well,
I'd be happy to do that. No, I think you've covered it, and what we can talk about some of the fine-tuning here at a different point. I'm still hung up a little bit with multiple equipment and one proxy, but we'll iron that out. Mr. Nasty, good evening. I saw your communication with Michigan up there on some of the stuff you're going on with your server, and it all looks good to me. N0STY, KY6V, hello.
Yeah, very good. You know, I spent the afternoon actually playing around with it a bit. All-Star in particular. Just kind of dinking around and trying to familiarize myself a little bit more with that particular aspect and how it works, as well as research to maybe fix that little bug. Anyway, this is N0STY. It's 53 degrees out here in Akron, Colorado. It's gray out. We've had a couple storms move through this afternoon. The second one actually is really just getting done here. And so I'm not sure if that's what happened earlier here in my neck of the woods. I heard the repeater and my Echo Link both dropped out, and I couldn't reconnect my Echo Link or the repeater for a while. So anyway, let me take a quick breath here. Fine business today, Daryl, that you've brought to the net. You know, I'm a fairly new ham in general, so a lot of this is new to me, and I've been figuring a lot of it out pretty fast. I do operate a nano node, portable. I take it everywhere with me, pretty much, to the point that I've already had to send it in for repairs twice, which is currently where it's at right now. It should be back here any day soon. But anyway, I just I didn't really have any questions even. I just said I would get in here and say hi. I wanted to say thank you. You're doing a fine job. A lot of good information. I did have to log out of my PC, and I am portable at the moment, so I'll be listening and standing by. This is N0STY, back to net.
You know what? You touched on an interesting device here, and I'm not sure how you are for time here, but I've got a couple of questions for you, if you could, because I don't know personally anybody that's operating the nano node. And as we're talking about hardware devices here right now, not to put you on the spot, man, or anything, but if you don't know, you know, the answers to these, just tell me, man, straight up. I never messed with it enough. I don't know, whatever. But I'm curious about the nano node and the technology that it uses, for instance. I know that it is a portable device, a pre-canned device that you can configure for both Echolink and IRLP. I do know the basics of it, that it's a low-powered, similar to the digital interface boards that I mentioned, only it has, of course, an analog FM unit as its transmitter instead of requiring the AMBI vocoder that I mentioned it's required for D-Star and whatnot, because the digital audio processing just, it's a requirement for the digital system to have that AMBI vocoder to do your audio ins and outs, where the analog to digital conversion is so important. But with the nano node, of course, that's not required. So essentially, it's an FM transmitter in a box that allows you to configure Echolink and IRLP software. I'm guessing it uses a Linux-typed core, and does it have a Raspberry Pi inside of it, or do they use like an Arduino-type controller, or what's the particulars on it in that regard? And then, of course, your experiences with it, of course. You know, I know that that you like the device. I've heard other people very happy with them as well. What's your opinion on that as an option for an Echolink / IRLP low-powered private access point? Nasty, go ahead.
Yeah. I can touch base a little bit on that. As far as whether it's a Pi or an Arduino, I'm not sure. We're not allowed to open it and look at it until it's out of its warranty period time. So, of course, I haven't done that. But it is one of the two. You can absolutely tell by the size, the ports, all that stuff. I'm leaning more towards Raspberry Pi. But, again, I couldn't answer that for certain. But you're on the right track. And basically, yes, you're correct in everything you've said thus far. And I don't remember what your other question was. Go ahead.
Just your opinion on it in general, as you know, as an operator that's used it as a hotspot type option. And I guess the same thing applies. I mean, you could configure it to use a mobile internet device, either your cell phone with the mobile hotspot option turned on, or one of the portable devices that the cell phone carriers sell that can act like an internet hotspot in your vehicle. So it's a very practical mobile option as well. And I understand that you've got a trip coming up as well. And are you going to be using the Nano Node in your vehicle to stay connected on Echolink while you're traveling, either with a HT or a mobile rig?
Yeah, very fine. I do. I have it set up for my house network, and I have a VPN through Strong VPN. I do use a mobile hotspot, and I also use my cellular device as a potential mobile hotspot. And I picked up the mobile hotspot because it cost me a whole $10. And that way, if I get phone calls or other data transmissions through my cell phone, then it won't affect my packets through my notes. So yeah, I do have an AT&T hotspot with that. I absolutely love it. I think it's really easy to use. I think when you're having problems, once you get it set up, it's really super easy to use. The process of getting it set up sometimes is a little bit tricky. Mark from Micronode International, though, is a very helpful guy. He'll give you his phone number when you buy a node, and he'll let you call him, and he'll pretty much always answer, and always has answers for me. Let me break. So ease of use is great. Quality is great. Portability is great. Am I taking it on my trip to Virginia? Absolutely. I've got a little, I call it a Pelican case, but it's not that brand. It's Rack Shack, R-A-K-S-H-A-K, I believe. I don't think there was a C in it. Yeah, S-H-A-K. And it is a, it fits my battery pack and my node perfectly. I'm entertaining the idea of putting fans on it for cooling and an external antenna. But as for my trip to Virginia, yes, I'm taking it along. Yes, I'll do some nets from it. However, I'm not driving. I'm actually flying. So we'll see how all of that goes as we go, of course. So I won't be using it from the airplane, but it'll be a really short trip. So this is M0STY. Back to you, Net. I'll be standing by for any other questions or comments in regards to the Nano Node.
No, that pretty much covers it. Pretty much covers all the information that I was looking for on that. So, I mean, obviously, you know, another viable source as a low-powered Echolink / IRLP hotspot that can be used around your home while you're on vacation or even in your vehicle when connected to a mobile data outfit, which really comes in handy because, of course, you know, if you like to communicate, if you've got a long commute, it comes in handy, you know. Of course, you can use your smartphone, mount it on your dashboard or whatnot. Just touch it to speak, touch it again to stop. You can even patch it through your car's audio system through Bluetooth and stuff. So it's pretty cool on its own. But definitely an RF hotspot, you know, a lot of us really like you know, to have the HT in the hand or, you know, the microphone in hand as opposed to using the smartphone app. I'm one of these people. Typically, when I work Echolink, that's what I'm using these days, is my Dash L system with just a little portable handheld. Works great. It covers the entire city. You know, don't need any internet devices or anything with me. Don't need to burn mobile data. It's just it's a great, great alternative. And my antenna, of course, is located 550 feet above the city, so it literally covers for miles and miles and miles and miles. People have given me audio reports from over 100 miles away, so it's you know, quite beneficial. In regard to you know, these mobile devices and these portable devices that act as access points, it's all well and good. As you've heard here this evening, you've got tons and tons of choices. Let me drop it here for a second before I touch briefly on the next technology-related topic that I want to get into. All right, before I do that, do we have any additional stations that, with any comments or that would like to jump in and say hello here this evening? Any comments or any traffic from anybody? This is VO1UKZ with the South Cars Thursday Informational Net, or TIN, here on the South Cars Conference.
This is Kilo Mike 4, Quebec November Whiskey, George from Central Florida.
Well, good evening to you, George. Great to hear you out here this evening. KM4, QNW, how's everything going with you this evening?
Everything's going good. I just jumped on here, and I thought it started at 8 Eastern, but it must have got started a little earlier. But anyways, it's got a computer tower I got today, and got my DV4 Mini set up in it, and get the Echo Link, and then now I'm going to attempt to do an Echo Link node out of it. So see if I can tackle that there. But other than that, I'm doing all right. Back to you, Champ 4, QNW.
Yeah, George, this net gets underway at 7 p.m. Eastern. I know most of the nets that I do and that you participate in do start at 8 p.m. Eastern, but this one gets started at 7 p.m. Eastern. So, yeah, we've been going here for an hour, a little over an hour already. We've talked about everything from all the smartphone apps you can use for ham radio to various different devices. I've covered Android TV boxes and Raspberry Pis. We've talked about the Nano Node so far as a mobile hotspot alternative. We've talked about all kinds of things technology related here so far this evening. And, of course, you missed the first half of the net. This net, like the Tuesday Night Technology Roundtable that we do over at the Dewdrop-In Conference on Tuesday nights, this net is also recorded and put on the Southcars website as a podcast. So you can check it out there. Gordon usually has those up by sometime tomorrow. So if you want to check that out on our Nets and Podcast section on the Southcars, voip.southcars.com website, you'll be able to click on Past Nets and Podcasts and scroll right down to the bottom, and you'll find this net all about technology. The next technology that I'm going to talk about here this evening, a lot of these topics, George, we've covered over the past 20 weeks of doing the Tuesday Night Technology Roundtable. So I've condensed some of the stuff that's at least ham radio related and, you know, condensed them into the informational net here this evening. So hopefully I get a lot of decent information out here this evening that's relevant, you know, to some people, and hopefully, you know, people can benefit from it as well. Let me drop it here for a second before I get into talking about the device that I'm going to get into here this evening called Alexa. All right, the next device that makes it very, very easy to get the information that you need in the ham radio shack is a device that Amazon sells called the Amazon Echo. Now, I highly, highly recommend checking this device out. I had a really cool demonstration that I was going to run here this evening. It was a recorded segment that my buddy Richard submitted for the Tuesday Night Technology Roundtable, in which he does a demonstration of all of the things you can do with the Amazon Echo that are relevant to ham radio. It can do things like teach you how to learn Morse code. It can look up people's positions on APRS. It can check out those call signs on QRZ. It can pull audiobooks on ham radio-related topics from audible.com. And the key with all of this, it doesn't have a screen. It doesn't have a keyboard or a mouse. It's a cylinder, coffee grinder-sized object, a black cylinder that sits on your desk. And you fully interact with this device by voice. So you can tell it things like, check the position of KY6V on APRS, and it will give you a voice response and tell you exactly where KY6V was located the last time he beaconed to APRS, all by voice. You can look up the location and directions to ham radio-related places, your local Red Cross, for instance, or emergency response center, just by asking it, give me the directions to this place. You can tell it afterwards, beam these directions to my smartphone. Being as your smartphone is paired with it, it'll put all the relevant information right up on your screen so you can take it with you when you run out the door. If you want information on particular restaurants and whatnot, it will also do that completely by voice. This demonstration, if anybody listening this evening or anybody out there that downloads this net as a podcast, if you want to obtain this demonstration on all of the things that the Amazon Echo, using its female counterpart, voice automated assistant, that's just realized I hadn't taken a pause for a minute there, so I figured I'd do that. And like I said, the key to this whole thing, it's fully hands-free, it's fully voice automated. If you do want to obtain an MP3 recording of this live demonstration that I mentioned, shoot me an email, I'm not even kidding. My call sign at dodropin.org, Victor Oscar 1 Uniform Kilo Zulu at dodropin.org. And I will get you the MP3 of this demonstration. It will blow your mind the advantages that this Alexa device, I really wish that I had it prepared to play here this evening, but I don't have the ability personally to play recorded segments over Equilink over on the Do Drop-In system. One of our other staff members takes care of that aspect of the Tuesday Night Net, so it just wasn't possible. But I highly, highly recommend checking this demonstration out. It's incredible. It can do 50 or 60 ham radio-related activities and events and information just by speaking to the thing. It's as close to a Star Trek computer as you're going to get. You know how you say, computer, do this, do that? Well, that's the Amazon Echo. Like, in a nutshell, this is the Amazon Echo. The device itself runs for about $175. It's worth absolutely every penny. I don't have one myself yet, but I do have the smaller and less expensive option that does exactly all of the same stuff, only instead of being a cylinder that's about a foot tall, this thing is about the size of a hockey puck, and it lays right on your desk, and it'll book appointments, set alarms, make restaurant reservations. It just does so many crazy things, literally thousands and thousands of things this thing can do completely by voice. Anyway, this net is not sponsored by Amazon in any way, shape, or form. All the information I put out this evening is completely voluntary and based on personal opinion. I figured I'd add that. All right, the next device that I want to get into is kind of a device series and a technology all on its own. I'm going to touch briefly on virtual reality and augmented reality. Interested? Stay tuned while I catch a breath. Okay, breath caught. Virtual reality, augmented reality. What the heck's the difference, first of all? How can I get involved? All right, here goes. Virtual reality and augmented reality are two technologies that simulate a simulated environment in two different senses of the word. Of course, virtual reality consists of a headset-type device. Either the Oculus Rift is a very, very popular one, has its own built-in screen. It's a 3D high-definition visor that you put on your head. It's, you know, relatively small, consistent of what the thing does. Other virtual reality headsets are cell phone adaptable headsets. The Samsung Gear VR is a headset-style device. Looks very, very similar to the Oculus Rift. As a matter of fact, Samsung collaborated with Oculus to develop this headset. However, it doesn't have its own screen right out of the box. Your smartphone becomes the screen. So the device that you would purchase is adjustable for all of the new popular Samsung smartphones, these large smartphones. So you would horizontally place your smartphone into a secured element at the front of the headset, and this becomes your screen. And of course, the sensors in your phone allow the headset, so when you turn your head, you look up and down, you move forward, your environment changes based on the proximity, motion, and gyroscopic sensors that are already contained within your phone. Incorporating GPS and position technology, altitude and speed relative to your current position, in conjunction with software, can establish a very, very detailed virtual world. When I talk about very detailed, I'm talking Google high-definition street view quality stuff here. I mean, it's not low-end like you would think. You know, previous virtual reality technology was poor at best. It was really, really crappy. Let me take a pause. Like I said, this virtual reality technology uses fully immersive technology. You don't see anything. You put earbuds in your ears. You don't hear anything but the environment that you're in. So if this is a game, also it uses handheld, the Oculus Rift uses handheld control sensors so that when you swing an arm or when you move forward, it allows you to progress in the virtual environment. It allows you to also do things like fire weapons in first-person shooter type games or shake hands with virtual characters in virtual Google Map-generated environments. So, how is this relevant to ham radio? Personally, right now, it isn't. but I think it's just a damn cool technology. And I see further applications for face-to-face meetings, for instance, with virtual reality headsets. You could actually attend a meeting attended by several people sitting around a virtual table. You know, you could drink your cup of coffee and, you know, participate in a meeting, share notes, of course, you know, different things like that, completely in the virtual environment. That type of technology already exists. With Google Hangouts and the Samsung Gear VR headset, you can actually have virtual meetings and play a virtual game of basketball with actual people. It's really, really cool stuff. So I highly recommend, if you're interested in this type of thing, check out the Oculus Rift, the Samsung Gear VR. And those are the two devices that I just highly recommend. They're high-end in regard to this. Briefly, I'll also touch on augmented reality. This is being used more and more right now in gaming than anything else. You may have heard tell of this game called Pokemon Go, in which you capture virtual characters that appear on your lawn or in your house or whatever. Using your cell phone's camera, you look at your screen of your phone and you see your actual environment through the phone's camera. But using what's called augmented reality technology, they can place characters, objects, things like that into your cell phone display and make them appear as if they're actually located in the real environment. So this is called augmented reality. I can't really see any practical applications for this technology in ham radio aspects right now, but there are currently a couple of different augmented reality displays or headsets that are being worked on. Let me take a breather and I'll talk briefly about those. Augmented reality headsets differ greatly from virtual reality headsets. Virtual reality headsets, of course, as I explained, use a very immersive technology. Your hearing, your vision, your senses are completely taken over by the virtual environment. Whereas augmented reality displays or headsets would allow you to see your world as it is, while at the same time allowing pertinent information to be displayed on your lenses of your goggles or headset, while still allowing you to observe your surroundings in real time. So information in the ham radio world, let's say GPS coordinates, call sign lookups, QRZ entries, different things like that activated by speech could be displayed within your field of view without you having to take your eyes off what you're currently working on, for instance. This technology is currently being used by the U.S. Air Force, apparently. One of our sources in the know in regard to the United States Air Force and Navy has told us that this technology is being used in flight displays and heads-up displays in aircraft, displaying pertinent targeting information within the pilot's field of view while still being able to operate the aircraft and see his surroundings in real time. That's a very practical use for a technology like that. Let me take a pause. And of course, you know, in other types, if you're a chef, for instance, a practical application would be to have cooking instructions or recipes displayed in your field of view while still being your cooking, for instance, without needing to turn your head or look at an alternate display and take your hands off what you're cooking, for instance. There's just tons and tons in your vehicle. There's technologies right now that'll do a heads-up display for things like GPS coordinates, your speed, your gas consumption, things like that are displayed right on the windshield now to avoid having to add alternate gauges into the vehicle. Different types, you know, of augmented reality technology are currently in use, and I see a lot of possibilities for this personally in the future. It's a relatively new technology, but it definitely is currently being worked on. All right, so before we continue here, this is the South Cars Thursday Informational Net, and TIN for short. Just wondering if we have any stations out there with any questions, comments, or would like to jump in here and say hello this evening. Standing by, this is VO1UKZ.
Six, Victor.
Boy, I'll tell you, I'm real glad that you're in here to keep this conversation going this evening. KY6V, go ahead, VO1UKZ.
Yeah, thanks, Daryl. KY6V. I want to take you back for a moment to Amazon Echo. That sounds awfully interesting, particularly with the price. That sounds excellent. I assume that it works through the Internet. You might comment on that. Alexia, is this the voice that you're of the virtual person that you're talking to, like Cordana is with Windows 10 and, you know, that kind of stuff. I'd be interested to know about that. And do you happen to know, can you mute it so that it does not respond to you when you're on the air talking to somebody like Daryl in Newfoundland, and you say, what's your name? I don't want this thing talking the same time Echolink is talking. So that's question number one. Question number two, the word virtual. If you have time, I would wonder if you would go into virtual private networking, VPN, and give us a short dissertation from your experience as to the security coverage. Does it enhance you? Is it something that people should look about in this day and age of hacking? What's the difference between that system and I know how it works, and let's say a proxy? I assume it has probably more encryption capabilities than a normal proxy would, depending on who's running the proxy. Anyway, touch on it if you can. KY6V, over.
Yeah, absolutely. I sure can touch on the advantages of VPN over a proxy. Pretty much, VPN, you've got a tunnel. You know, you've got a point-to-point access. Even though you're going over the internet, you're kind of going through something that's locked when you're going through the first door, and it's locked again before the information gets out of the second door at the other end. And that's, I mean, pretty much any encryption levels that you want to apply to your data, it's a secure link. It's a virtual private network. So it's not, you know, actually there, but it is virtual. So, you know, it exists in cyberspace as a controlled end-to-end environment. And, yeah, a proxy, pretty much you're passing your information through another computer to either A, mask its location or get behind some kind of IP restriction or port forward or whatever, many different uses for both. But pretty much with a proxy, all the information you send through it is available by whoever's running that proxy. A virtual private network or VPN, you're going to get the security, well, you're going to get security you want because you implement it on your end and the receiving end, and it has to match on both ends. So nobody in between is going to be able to see your data. And that's what's important about a VPN. And, of course, when doing things like downloading things off the Internet, there's, you know, proxies you can go through, there's VPNs you can go through. If you really want the security that goes along with it, the VPN is definitely the best way to go when it comes to point-to-point communication. There's no two ways about it. Other than that, I don't really know how much more I can really say about that without getting into the inner workings about how packets and stuff are transmitted through VPNs, and I'm just assuming that would probably get way too boring in a hurry, let me tell you. I know engineers that can't really grasp the concepts of how the encryption works and the algorithms that are in place and different, you know, techniques and things for encoding your data, but there's a lot of them. When you want real secrecy, and I mean if you're looking to use a proxy or a VPN for online privacy or secrecy, I highly recommend checking out the Tor protocol, Tango, Oscar, Romeo. That's really the only way to get true anonymity online. I mean, the Tor protocol bounces your signal around every corner of the Internet. If someone tried to track you, they wouldn't have a prayer. The CIA can't track people that are using Tor. The average individual doesn't stand much of a chance. So if you really want security, check out the Tor protocol, Tango, Oscar, Romeo. Let me drop it here and before I conclude on the Amazon Echo device. All right, the Amazon Echo and Alexa. Yes, it definitely, Alexa is the voice assistant name. With Google or with Android, it's Google Now. With Microsoft or Windows, you get Cortana. With Apple devices, you get Siri. With the Amazon Echo, you get Alexa. And Alexa is by far the most advanced of any of these systems. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. You can ask this thing, Gordon, advanced questions. I mean, like, what was the exact time that someone was arrested in the shooting of Abraham Lincoln? And it'll give you a voice response for elaborate questions with many differentiating informational factors. I mean, this thing is advanced. you've got to hear this demonstration. That's all I can say. I don't know if you have the ability to play files over the internet or not, but I mean, this is just or over Echolink. I mean, I have, I think, maybe an MP3 of it or something, this demonstration. It's all ham radio related aspects that he demonstrates in this recording. And he's communicating with Alexa in real time. It's about 9 minutes long. I mean, I can bang away on the computer, try to find it real quick, and send you a Dropbox link to download the file if you can play it toward the end of the net. Completely up to yourself. But it's worth it, man. I can really tell you. It's an absolutely fantastic display of voice communication technology and ham radio integration. And the Amazon Alexa, like I said, or the Amazon Echo at $175, the Echo Dot is the hockey puck sized one. That one's only $99, and it uses the same protocols. So, yeah, it's interesting stuff. Any additional comments on that, Gordon? Go ahead.
No, but it sure sounds interesting. I'm going to pass on replaying that because it would take a number of steps and get involved here for me to do that. If I had the file in MP3, I could pull that up pretty fast. But let's do that for a different time. Now, what is this? Internet-based? Does it have a Wi-Fi built into it? Does it require an Ethernet cable to your router? How's that work? And then move on. Over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It requires nothing more than to plug it into the wall. It's simple as that. Built-in Wi-Fi, you configure the whole thing by voice. Yeah, it's just as simple as it sounds, man. It really is. You set it up through an Android app to communicate with your various accounts, your email, your text, your audible.com, your ham radio-related stuff, QRZ. You can program it for everything. And, yeah, it's built-in Wi-Fi, built-in Bluetooth, built-in GPS, built-in all of it. And that's how it pulls and calculates relevant information based on all of your current positions and stuff like that. So, yeah, just really, really cool stuff, man. So, yeah, if you want that MP3, I'll shoot it to you by email just so you can have a listen. Richard did a fantastic job with that presentation, and it's definitely a lot of fun. All right, let's see. I've pretty much gone through most of the topics that I had here for tonight. There's really only one more that I wanted to get into, and that, of course, is the information that was released in the past week. Of course, Nasty mentioned about, you know, he was going on a flight and all. Well, I hope you don't have the Samsung Galaxy Note 7. All right, I don't know if that was me timing out again or what the situation was here, but I will drop it for just a second in case it was. All right, again, could have been a text tone. I haven't been following the text box during the net there. It's not overly easy. Like I was saying, if you have a an airline trip lined up in the next, couple of months, I guess, really, and you have one of the current Samsung Galaxy Note 7 devices, got the hiccups here now of all things, the FAA and Homeland Security has just released an update due to the recall on the Samsung Galaxy Note devices due to, of all things, exploding batteries. The FAA and Homeland Security has issued an advisory recommending that people do not charge Samsung Galaxy Note devices that still contain the defective Korean battery in them. I found this to be an extremely interesting recall, and I've been following the whole thing as it progresses. Apparently, it's happened on 49 devices out of the millions that have been sold, but it's still enough of an issue to make the news and be a topic worth talking about. This day and age, you would think that especially a company like Samsung would scrutinize all components going into a device being sold around the world, and that things like exploding batteries, which turn into apparently a fireball when the defective battery is apparently charged. It's in one case I heard about it burning down a garage. Another case apparently it set fire to someone's vehicle. Lots of burnt out little things apparently with these. Apparently the devices with the Chinese manufactured battery is just fine. And that's the batteries that they're going to be replacing these recalled units. There is a full-blown recall in effect. And this is definitely one of the highest quality flagship phone devices that are currently available. It's the creme de la creme in Android devices. So it really surprised me when I heard this story on the news, and that this was going to be an issue with these things. So anyway, that's really all I had for this evening, Gordon, unless we've got any questions from the group here or anything that needs elaborating on here this evening. That pretty much covers all the topics that I had. Thought it was going to be close to 2 hours worth of material there, but we managed to get an hour and a half so far. But failing any comments or anything from anybody about any of this stuff, unless you have anything further that we can get into talking about, KY6V, VO1UKZ.
No, I think we should open it up and see if anybody else would like to make any comments or has any questions. Thank you very much for everything. That was a bucket full of information all the way around the barn. There was one question you didn't, I don't think, answered. If you did, I missed it. On this Amazon Echo, can you put it in pause mode or mute it or something so that other communication that's going on around the desk that it's sitting on, it doesn't think that you're talking to it? Over.
Oh, absolutely. I did miss that one, actually. And there's a couple of different ways to address that. One, to activate it, you need to say Alexa. As soon as you say Alexa, that's when it will start, interpreting what you say following that as the command or request for information or whatever you're going to do with the thing. But just like the Samsung or Android devices, you just say, okay, Google. It's the same type of thing. It won't, activate. But yes, you can say, Alexa, mute volume, and it will. It'll shut itself up pretty quick. But yeah, it's really cool, man, and I'm telling you, I will hunt down that MP3 and email it to you, because if you're planning on getting one of these things, especially as an addition to the ham shack or for reminding you about stuff, I mean, you can say, Alexa, remind me of a meeting next Tuesday on Echolink at 1:30 p.m. And then it will say, would you like to save this reminder? And you say yes, and it's good to go, man. 10 minutes or so before the appointment or whatever, even if it's a year down the road, this thing will pipe up and give you a verbal reminder. I mean, it's like having a fully functioning receptionist at your disposal. So, yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. All right, that's going to be about it for the information here this evening so far. Well, at least what I had on tap to talk about. Unless we have any stations out there that would like to come forth with any questions, or if you'd just like to say hello, or if there's a interesting technology-related topic that you think someone might find interesting here this evening, we'd love to hear about it. This is VO1UKZ for the South Cars at Thursday Informational Net.
November 8, Tango Hotel Juliet.
And Kilowatt Alpha 9 Whiskey Delta X-Ray.
W3JDH.
All right, fantastic. I did copy three stations that time. Copied N8THJ, good evening to you, Art, and KA9WDX, good evening, Bernie. Second night I've heard you on this week. Been a while since I've heard you, but twice in 1 week, so excellent stuff. And the last station I've got, not sure on the name, but Whiskey 3 Juliet Delta Hotel. All right, let's go to the top of the list then, in November 8, Tango Hotel Juliet. Good evening to you, Art. How's everything?
Good evening there, Daryl, and everybody on the net. This is November 8, Tango Hotel Juliet, Art from Springfield. All right, the first thing is on the Alexa. It does have a mute button on top of the unit itself, and so does the Dot, the Echo Dot. They both have, so you can mute it that way, mute the microphone. Also, the Dot, it's the second generation. The Echo Dot's the second generation, and it comes out October 20, 2016 for $49.99. That's what I wanted to add to that there, Daryl, for anybody who wants to know. And technical information this evening. So with that, I'll send it back to you from NATHJ.
Yeah, QSL, Art, and I did get your email there on wanting to get the information on the Amazon Echo or the demonstration there. Yeah, that was a good one. Richard did quite a number of weeks back now on the Tuesday night Technology Roundtable Net, and I also got Fred, I got your request for that as well. So, gotta love email, man. You get it in a real nice, timely fashion. All right, the next station that I had on the list here is, and yeah, that's a fantastic price. The original that I have ordered already, I wish I had known that there was a new one coming out because I would have waited. But yeah, I've ordered the DOT, and it was $99, $99 Canadian anyway, which is like 50 or 60 American, so yeah. The next station I've got is you, Bernie, K9WDX. Good evening.
Okay, Daryl, VO1UKZ, K9WDX. I hope my audio is level's okay. If it's too loud, then I'll reduce it a little bit. That's 6 plus 6 there. Usually ran it at 0, but anyhow, just want to say good evening to everyone. And I was tempted to maybe thinking about trying D-Star out. IRLP, well, they got that on a repeater, but anyhow, I was thinking about maybe getting a D-Star transceiver, maybe setting up a D-Star node, simplex node around town here. I was talking to another guy about it. He mentioned a D-Star device, but I haven't had the chance to investigate it or look it up on the internet or anything, so I don't know a thing about it. So I was just was wondering, you didn't mention it. I don't know if it's available anymore or not, or if it's got a different name now, or if it's been discontinued, or if it's, or what. I don't know anything about it. Like I said, I didn't get a chance to look it up on the internet. But he mentioned a D-Star device, something like DVRPTR or something like that. You ever hear of that? And do you know anything about that? DV repeater or something like that? DVRPTR or something like that? VO1UKZK9WDX.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The DVR-PTR board is another hardware-type device that can be connected. It works like a Rig Blaster, for instance. In creating an Echolink node, you'd need like a Rig Blaster or a Signalink USB interface. Well, the DVR-PTR board contains that AMBI chip that I spoke about earlier, the AMBI 3000 vocoder. It contains that. So what it is, it's a hotspot-type interface board. It's like a bridge. You need a computer on one side of it and an analog radio on the other side. So using it, what it does, it pretty much turns an analog FM radio that can do narrowband transmit, of course. And let me drop it here for a second. And you use an analog radio that's 9600 baud capable, so a radio that's capable of transmitting data traffic. And you connect that to one side of the DVR-PTR board and a computer to the other side running some D-Star software. And then pretty much your only limitation is the power of the radio you choose to use for a node radio, the antenna you connect it to, and that's it. You can use, you know, 25 watts, 50 watts, 100 watts. If you've got an RF setup that can handle that, the DVR-PTR board is kind of a go-between to do your analog-to-digital conversion to allow an analog radio to act as a digital hotspot. That's pretty much what it does. So it kind of works the way a DVAP would, for instance, or DV Mega, or the DV4 Mini, but those are low-powered 10 milliwatt built-in transceivers, low-powered personal ones, whereas using the DVR-PTR board, you'll still need a D-Star radio, an actual digital D-Star radio to operate your D-Star, whether it's a HT or a mobile rig in your vehicle. What the DVR-PTR computer and analog radio will provide is a high-powered RF hotspot for you to work that D-Star from a D-Star radio, is pretty much what it does. All right, I saw Rick has a comment here as well, so I've added you to the list, Rick. And first, though, we're going to pick up Whiskey 3 at Juliet Delta Hotel. Good evening.
Well, good evening, Daryl, and hello, everybody else on the net. It's been a fascinating evening for technology. My name is Dave, and my QTH is near Ocean City, Maryland. I haven't been on here in a long time, as Kathy and Gordon can probably attest to, probably a year. Thursday nights are pretty involved with me with church and choir and all that sort of thing. Became knowledgeable about South Cars when my daughter was living in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and the fellow next across the street was Terry Tucker, and he was doing some net control, and that's how I got to meet Kathy and then Gordon, and had the fortunate experience of having Gordon do some teaching on the Morse code. That was probably 4 years ago. And I have iPads, Samsung Note 4, Microsoft Surface Book, desktop with Windows. So I'm familiar with Alexa, Cortana, and Siri. All great ladies to talk to. I'm amazed at how the technology has continued to improve over the years, and pretty soon we're going to be on Captain Kirk's ship at warp drive. Just wanted to say hello and tell you that I enjoyed the net. I probably haven't been on here since it went to a monthly instead of a weekly net, but it was very, very interesting for me, and glad to hear some familiar voices. So back to net control. This is W3JDH.
Oh, QSL Dave, well, I don't think we've spoken before, but absolutely my pleasure to meet you here this evening. Yeah, I've been around on South Cars myself for quite a number of years, and we may have actually spoken back in the day. I've only been calling nets on here for, well, I suppose now, though, to be honest, it's been a couple of years, really, when you look at it, since I've been involved in various TINs and stuff. So, yeah, definitely, time flies. I've been licensed since 2006, and the number of people I've had the pleasure of meeting over the years, and organizations and groups that I've been involved in. I'm not a big fan of the local radio club stuff, but the international stuff, oh man, bring it on. Just absolutely love it. You know, it's much more entertaining when you can, you know, go to a meeting or, you know, have a conversation with stations, and they're from all over the world. I mean, there's something to be said about being able to pick up a portable radio or a smartphone and literally talk to the planet and exercise your ham radio license there without needing too much of an elaborate setup. You know, it's a great world we live in. I'm a network engineer by trade and do this kind of stuff for a living, so I just eat, sleep, and breathe technology. You know, really just can't get enough of the stuff. And, you know, if there was a way, man, I definitely would. But I usually, you know, absorb this stuff, and I just love to pass it on to other people. So thanks for joining us tonight. Definitely appreciate it very much. All right, I think we've got a comment here from Rick, so N1VXP, go ahead and grab that microphone, V1UKZ.
This is N1VXP. I just wanted to bring up an app that I've just recently got connected into, Android. It's tied in with my local health, our Adena Medical Center. It's called HEALO, H-E-A-L-O-W, which stands for Health Online Wellness. And when I've gotten everything downloaded and connected in, it's constant updating. It gives me my appointments. It gives me all medications that I'm on. Tells me possible new prescriptions I have to get filled, and gives me other information, lab work results, and it's quite a thing. I never thought I would be involved, but once I set it up, I was like, wow, quite the thing. It gives me my two most, I got two appointments coming up. One on Monday and another one in October. Their actual appointments gives me all the information, which is really a good idea. I've told other people that are pretty well doing the same thing that they should check it out. So they have to get an email from the medical center giving them the proper security code, but once they get things set up, it's really a handy little app to have on the smartphone. And I can see the technology going further with them. There's other things that could be added on, but right at this moment I have basically medication, my appointments, and lab results. Quite the thing. I never thought I would do it, but hey, I'm happy to do it. Definitely a great Android. I don't use anything to do with the browser anymore because that does not work. For some odd reason, it locks up. I use Chrome and Google for my searching, and they work fine. In fact, voice on Chrome and Google do seem to work quite well as well. If I say...
All right, I see that Rick has timed out there. I guess we have a new winner for the Purple Crystal Award tonight, Gordon. All right, let's just see if Rick is back with us there. All right, yeah, Rick, you did time out toward the end there. We did get most of that, but you timed out right toward the end there after you finished talking about the medical technology there. Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating stuff. It really is. Here in Canada, we, you know, in the States, that's a really practical thing to have, of course, especially test results and stuff immediately, because every time you go to that doctor, you can just feel the, you know, the bank account and the wallet getting lighter and lighter down the States, and it's unfortunate, but you would think this day and age, things like universal health care would be just mandatory for citizens all around the world, but, you know, we all can't live in Canada, I suppose. You know, there's only so much land up here, but we do still have a bit to spare, so, you know, before all the other foreign countries starts occupying all the land up here, we should get some of our American friends to move north and get that dual citizenship happening there, so at least things like disease and sickness is not killing off the population. Anyway, I digress. It's not a net about the issues in our various healthcare systems and stuff. But the next station we've got is KB4-OVI. Good evening, Pete. How's everything?
And this is Katie Frost, George Kennedy. Very well, Dale. Gee, I haven't heard you in a long while. Anyway, I was just trying to get a recap since I dialed in late, about an hour late, I think I was, and trying to get a general recap on what happened tonight on the TechNet there, if you would. And I also wanted to say hello to my friend, esteemed colleague, Gordon, if I may. I don't know if he's still on, and I'm just gonna call for him. KD4 Oscar Vic India. Back to Net Control.
QSL Pete, good to hear you on. Said to make sure I wasn't doubling there. Good to hear you on here this evening as well. Haven't heard you in a while either, and it's been a while since I've had the opportunity to do one of these technical related to TIN programs. And you know, there's a lot of new information out there since the last time we got to do one of these. So it was nice to be able to recap some of the things that we've talked about before on some other nets, but in a more condensed form here this evening. I'd like to think we got a lot of information put out to the group here tonight. And in regard to recapping what we covered here tonight, wow, we covered a lot of stuff, man. We started off talking about various ways you can put your smartphone to use in about 7 or 8 different ham radio-related applications, how they worked and what they did. We got into talking about different devices that you can use, different hardware devices. We spoke a bit about Android TV boxes and Raspberry Pis. We got into talking a little bit about the Nano Node, what it is and what it does. We also talked and touched a little bit on virtual reality type technologies, how it's being used, the future of that type of technology. We also talked a bit about how to get an RF node set up for different things like Echolink, IRLP, D-Star, DMR, System Fusion, all of that stuff, man. We talked about a lot of stuff here tonight. And if anybody did miss the opening of the show here tonight, feel free to check out our website, of course, at voip.southcars.com. And check out our past nets and podcast section where you can download this TIN program as well as many of the other TINs that we've had here and many of the other nets as well. Of any type of relevance and significance can all be found there and downloaded as well for your offline or online listening pleasure. So this net will be available sometime tomorrow on the South Cars website for download as a podcast, so I'd encourage everybody to check that out. All right, we're getting close to the shutdown time here this evening. We've managed to get almost the 2 hours out of it here this evening so far, so another additional comment or two would be definitely welcome. If we don't get any, well, then that's the way the cookie crumbles there, but I'm sure we'll pass it over to Gordon for any final comments. I don't know if Kathy is still in the background, if she has anything final for us here this evening, but I'll toss this microphone up in the air. If we get any takers, we'll write those down and get to the stations we do get. If not, we'll pass it over to you, Gordon. So we'll take a pause right now for the cause and see if there are any additional stations that would like to join us on the South Cars Thursday Informational Net, or TIN for short.
Victor X-Ray Papa. Want to continue a little bit. I'm sorry about the timeout.
All right, you go right ahead, Rick, with your additional comments, and then when you're done, you can go right ahead and pass it over to Gordon. N1VXP to take it, and then you can pass the microphone to KY6V for any additional comments.
Very good, N1VXP. Now, what I was about ready to say, I know I was about ready to time out, but I didn't think I did. Anyway, as far as the app for Hilo, what's nice is... say if I go to a doctor that is not tied in with the local medical center, and rather than trying to keep track of all the medications I'm taking, I'm right now at 5, I can bring that up and show them all the different prescriptions that I have, which is really not bad, or even the appointments. So it's kind of good for not only tied in with the medical center, but if I have to see anybody else who's not tied in with the medical center, give them the information, and they can verify it. Like I say, 5 prescriptions. I can't keep track of the names and the amounts, and it's very simplified. But that's what's nice about that technology, is that kind of universal, that it's out there, updated all the time, and comes in real handy. Really looking forward to future technology, medical-wise, be quite interesting. Back to you. Over to Gordon, KY6C, N1TXP.
Okay. Very interesting. Thank you very much, Rick. Gordon, KY6V for South Cars, and we're just about ready to wind up the TIN. Hang on, Daryl, I got one quick question for you. Want to say hello to David in W3JDH. My goodness gracious, both Kathy and I smile when we heard your voice, David. It has been a long, long time. So welcome back to the fold. The second item for your interest, Daryl, is I just received an email from Nasty, N0STY, and he said for some reason he just lost everything on all of his computers and he can't hear us anymore. So I sent him a quick email back and said, sorry, it's okay here. So that's the way that's flopping. Good evening to Pete. Pete, that's a heck of a question to ask, Tiger. 2-hour net, and you come on just about at the end, and you say, would you explain what you covered? Shame on you. You know, the recording, as Daryl said, will be there tomorrow. Let me buy a nickel. I don't want to pull what Rick did here. Question for you, Daryl. I'm in the market for some software for voice translation. And I've been doing a lot of research, but I haven't found what I want to find. And what this is a linguistic transfer. I'm not particularly interested in voice-to-text and text-back-to-voice. I want voice-to-voice in a language change. You talk into the unit in English, it transmits out in, let's say, Japanese. The party on the other end transmits in Japanese, and it comes out to me on my side in English. You got any ideas on that, Daryl? KY6V, over.
Well, I wouldn't be the technology nut that I am, Gordon, if I couldn't have a two-way conversation in English to Japanese. The mobile app for Google Translate will do just that. You can translate to and from text, yes. You can also do two-way voice. In this sense, okay? Having a conversation over the internet, it doesn't do that. But let's say you have someone that only speaks Japanese and you're standing up face-to-face. You can speak into your device and then hit translate, and it will spit out on the other end in Japanese so they can understand it. Then you hold your phone up. They speak into it in Japanese. It'll spit out English. You can do that.
Okay, you seem like you cut off short. Did you turn it back to me?
Yeah, I should have said it, but didn't. I just said, yeah, you can do that. and then I dropped it. So I was figuring you'd pick it up. But yeah, you can do that much with it, though. I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's, you know, fairly decent. Back to you.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're starting to lose some packets, unless it's on my end here, which could be, I guess. Okay, well, I've looked at Google Voice. They want $20 for the first, I think it's million characters. And if you want it two-way translated, they want another $20 a month for the same amount of characters. And I said to myself, self, there's got to be a better way. Daryl, over.
Yeah, well, myself is going to tell yourself the better way. Sign up as a Google beta tester and you get it for free. So, I don't pay no $20 per no several million characters or none of that nonsense. Definitely not. Sign up as a Google beta tester. Just Google it. How do I become a Google beta tester? I have been for quite a number of years. I get the developer channels, the Google developer channels. So when the new and cool stuff comes out, and this one does do, I can speak into it, and I can say, where is the closest restaurant to my position in Japanese? And it'll spit out the whatever, you know, the Japanese language. I don't speak it. My apologies. But it'll do it, man. I've played around with it. Matter of fact, I got a lot of kicks out of sitting back and hearing how various things sound in Chinese and Japanese and whatever. Anyway, just a geek's way to spend a Friday night, I guess. But yeah, Google Beta Tester. That's the way to get all of their stuff. Google Play Books, newsletters, all of that stuff for 100% free. So yeah, as well as a free Google Voice phone number if you're a beta tester. So yeah, check that stuff out. That's how I'd go about it, man, to be honest with you. All right, that's pretty much going to do it for me for tonight. I'm pretty much running out of gas, man. After 2 hours of straight gabbing, on and on and on, you know, you kind of get ready to lose it. For anybody that was interested in tonight's program, we get together each and every Tuesday evening and talk about just what we've done here tonight and talk about technology. The only difference is we take recorded submissions from the ham radio community in general. We assemble those into a 15 to 20 minute recorded section made repeater friendly, of course. We play that at the beginning of each net so we get fresh topics. And I'm talking some great stuff each and every week on Tuesday evenings. So if you enjoyed tonight's program, join me on Tuesday evenings for the Tuesday Night Technology Roundtable. That's over on the Dew Drop-In Conference, 8 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday evenings. And I'd love to talk tech with everybody out here. We do take regular check-ins as well with any comments, short time, in and out, the whole works. But we take check-ins from anywhere. We usually get about 20-some-odd, I guess, for each net. So we're not doing too bad. We've had as high as 40 stations in a two-hour period over there on a Tuesday night from up between 7 and 11 countries. So it's a very widespread international technology talking time on Tuesday nights. Try to say that three times fast. All right, I'll pass it over to you, Gordon, for any final comments you may have. It's been a pleasure riding along with you this evening here as we talk technology on Thursday night. And you can, if Kathy's still around in the wings there, you can pass it over to her. If she wants to finish things up here this evening, she's more than welcome to go ahead and do so. And pleasure. This is VO1 UKZ.
Okay, Daryl. Again, I don't know if it's my system on this end or yours. One of us have started up breaking up. I got the pieces and parts pretty much together where I understood what you were saying, but it was tough on my end. Let me break here for a moment. Is there...
Kilo Delta 4, Oscar Victor India, at your service.
Yeah, I'm hearing Gordon just fine, and I'm hearing you just fine, Pete, and I've been hearing everybody just fine, so I'm not sure. Are you experiencing any packet loss on my end, Pete? Go ahead.
Negatory. Over.
Well, hopefully the computers that are doing the recording are not getting the packet loss, because everything seems to be working fine over here. I've got literally a 200 megabit connection. I'm not even joking. I can upload at 15 megabytes per second. And I'm looking at my meter there, and I'm using 2% of that bandwidth right now. So I doubt I'm throwing packets awry from up here, but stranger things have happened. VO1 UKZ. Back over to you, Gordon, if you can still copy. KY6V, VO1 UKZ.
KM4 QNW, I hear pretty good there, Daryl. I think Gordon dropped out. He might be having problems with his radio.
Yeah, QSL, yeah, he did seem to just drop out at the end of his last over. He said, let me drop it for a second, and then he said something else, but that got completely cut off there. So, I don't know. I'll go ahead at this point. I see Kathy's dash R is connected there, so we've definitely got some activity still coming out of Florida there. So, I'll take a pause and see if Kathy or Gordon wants to pick it up. If they don't, I'll go ahead and put the ribbons on it for this evening.
Check in. Katie for Oscar Beach, India.
Yeah, QSL Pete, go right ahead.
The net you were talking about, I do have it on my screen. Is it do drop in? Let's see. It says Q Car C Areas Net. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, QSL, they have the Orange County, I think, Emergency Services Net or something on right now. But yeah, on Tuesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern, every single week, I have the Tuesday Night Technology Roundtable Net that I do at 8 p.m. Eastern. Yep, and that's the right conference server. Do drop in, DODROPIN. On Tuesday nights, that'll say Technology Roundtable instead of Orange County Emergency Amateur Services or OSCARS or something. It'll say Tuesday Night Technology Roundtable. We've got the system fully updated to switch and show the titles of all of our nets. We've got automated podcast uploads and things that go on as well. If you want to catch the net we did, Pete, this past Tuesday night, like two nights ago, you can go to dodropin.org, our website, dodropin.org. You'll see the blurb on our main page about the Tuesday Night Technology Roundtable. Then directly under that, there's a link that says download replay here. Each week, that updates to the most current airing of the net. The net automatically goes to that after it ends each Tuesday night. So if you click that link now, you'll get the one we did Tuesday night. It was fantastic. We had so many stations out there, so many great topics. It was incredible. One of our better ones. It was week 20 for the Tuesday Night Technology Roundtable Net, and it was a monumental one for sure. Let's see if Gordon is back with us yet to put the ribbons on this thing for this evening. KY6V, are you back with us, sir? You seem to drop out there toward the end of your last over. Go ahead.
Well, I'm back, but I think I'm going to have to reboot everything. It's still breaking up very badly on me, Daryl. I don't know if it's breaking up on transmit or not. Go ahead and close it out when you're ready, and thank you, KY6V. Over.
No, negative. You sound 100% clear and flawless audio, as usual there. Not sure if the machine that was doing your recording caught the breakups or not, but I'll go ahead and put the ribbons on it. Pete and George both confirm no breakups on any of my audio, and I confirm that there has been on nobody else's as well. So the technical difficulties, sir, must be on your end this evening. The gremlins must have took a stop in Port St. Lucie. Thanks for joining us, everybody, tonight on the South Cars Thursday informational net. Information about next month's TIN can be found on our website. Not sure what's been scheduled for that yet, but I imagine it will be a good one as well. Again, thanks to everybody who joined us this evening. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. The VOIP net schedules and general information can be found on our website at www.voip.southcars.com. We're always looking for help, of course, with our outreach and support staff. If anybody is interested in performing any of those duties, please contact Kathy, K6SUN, pertaining to all of that stuff. Thanks again to everybody who joined us. Hopefully that was a good enough closing preamble. I did not have anything in front of me. 73s, and have a fantastic night. This is VO1 UKZ saying 73s from a chilly, windy, and rainy St. John's, Newfoundland. Have a fantastic evening. That there's been no
KY6B, are you still on the driver's seat? KD4 Oscar Victor India.
Yeah, I think he's still having a little bit of, better disconnect that. I think he might be still having a bit of technical difficulty there, Pete. I've seen that his two machines did go down and come back online again, so I think he's probably doing the reboot there at the moment. I'm coming through on my RF link there now. I can assume that there's still no packet loss from up this way there, Pete. Go ahead.
Everything's solid as a rock.
There you go. Yeah, I set up the Dash L here a couple of months back, back in May, I think it was, and it's been performing like a champ. It's just an old P4, 1 gigahertz or 2 gigahertz machine with a gig of RAM in it, sitting there on the table, connected to the radio. I've literally not had to reboot it once since May, so it's a troop, I've got to say. All right, Pete, it's been a pleasure. I'm going to take off. I got to go get some sleep. I'm really tired here this evening. Hopefully it didn't show on this.